there, folks. I'm Emily.
And I'm Elle.
And this is Oh My Word, a podcast where we talk to you about books, movies, musicals, TV shows, etc. And give you an insight into the content so that you can be a more informed consumer.
Yes, and we even apply to it our fantastic, highly scientific, highly thought out, and just beyond, it's just ingenious. It's
brilliant.
Brilliant. It's just, but it's even beyond brilliant. Pearl clutching scale. So we have for violence, language, and romance, and everything is on a scale of 0 to 4. 0 being the best, because that's how we roll, and 4 being the not best, because there's too much of it, so that's why I would get a 4. So we aim for the low ratings on this, on our pearl clutching scale.
Yes. It's like that phrase, aim for the moon, because if you fail, at least you'll land among the stars, which I know is scientifically inaccurate. And a lot of my friends in high school and college were very upset by that phrase because teachers would have it on posters and they'd say, oh, that's not scientific because actually stars are farther away from the moon. And you know what? Those people aren't writing books because those are not creative people. They are too literal. Gosh darn it. Because it's like it's obviously just poetic.
But they might be inventing
too literally.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. They might be inventing things though. But we could say reach for the moon because the moon is like a circle shape and that's like a 0. And we are aiming for 0. So just never mind the stars.
Exactly. Yes. Never mind the stars. Or aim, I was going to do something about aiming low. I don't know. But the point is, people should stop taking things so literally.
Right. For example, reality. Because if we take reality so literally, can we believe in true love? I mean, in fairy tales. I mean, in this segue, I'm not sure if it's working, but we were going to go with this. I'll tell you where it's supposed to go.
At least you're honest about it.
as I'm speaking, I'm like, where are we going with this? No, because we do have to suspend belief. We'll call it suspending belief a little bit to believe in fairy tales because that's why they're fairy tales. Because it's things that people would like to be true, but we have yet to discover any historical documentation confirming they're true, aside from how far back they go, which I'll just put an aside plug here. That's like my fairy tale series that I wrote, which is the End of Edinburgh After series. I wrote it in like a memoir style. So it's like, oh, look, I'm filling in all the details. This could have happened. I'm going to correct the story. Anyways, back to what we're talking about here is the live-action Cinderella that Disney put out in 2015. Not the new one that Amazon is coming out, just came out with. Whatever, no to that one. Well, actually, we're not sure, but probably no to that one.
Probably no, because the fairy godmother is just a fairy god person. And it's just another indication of a time when things are being taken away from women in the name of other things. Like, the fairy godmother is a quintessential feminine role, and now a man is playing that role.
Well,
so
Emily's on a... Wow, okay, Emily's on a trip. Also, I was just going to say, because Amazon's not Disney, so they're going to be changing the music, and they're going to be changing stuff that we all know about, and it's like just write a different story at that point. But then again, nobody really owns Cinderella, because Cinderella, we'll just do this tangent for a second, you have the French version, which is the one that we all know, but there's also like a Chinese version of it, and even the Chinese version, there's like a few different versions of it. Like, instead of the fairy godmother, there's actually like a tree that like rained on dresses, which is all incorporated in my book called End of Edinburgh After. Oh, look, we're back to the plug. No, but okay, we're talking about the Disney one that came out in 2015. And it's starring Lily James and Cate Blanchett and Richard Madden and Helena Bonham Carter. We're all in it together, like in the film together. And I actually remember, I don't know, do we have to tell the story that, okay, there's a girl and she loses her mother and her dad remarries this grand woman who turns out to be the evil stepmother. And she makes Ella, Cinderella, a slave servant in her own home. And etc., etc., etc. There's a prince and he's having a grand ball and anyone can come. And Ella is told, if you do your chores, you may come. And so she scrounges up a dress from the attic. She gets dressed all beautifully. She's ready to go. And the stepmother and the stepsisters, oh yeah, the stepsisters, rip the dress and you can't come. And she goes to cry and her fairy godmother comes and poof, beautiful dress, sends her off, turns mice into horses and a goose into a coachman, sends her off to the ball and the prince falls madly in love with her, etc., etc. which just goes to show that if you got the right dress, ladies. Oh, no, wait. Am I coming to the wrong conclusion here?
Oh, was that not the lesson?
Oh, that's not the lesson.
I think that when you read a book, you're allowed to come to whatever conclusion you want to come to.
Oh, okay. Well, this one, because they are expanding, it's the live action, and they're expanding on the Cinderella story as far as Disney is concerned, the way that Disney originally told it, they do try to add more into the story, right? They show a little bit more of the mom before she passed away, that she tries to tell Ella, you know, always be kind, always have kindness, etc. So they do try to add more to it. Yeah.
Yes, but that actually harkens back to the original, or at least an early translation of the French. The idea that the mom is a little bit more involved in Cinderella's formation as a child and the young woman she grows to become.
Oh, not that's the last time the French had the lesson of be nice to other people. Ah, just kidding. If there's any French here, we like you too. Please
they're
send
really
me gifts.
Nice, as long as you don't try to speak French. I think they're fine.
Oh, yeah. Just send us wine. Thanks, French people.
But, wait, you know, you were mentioning...
This whole episode is taking a wonky turn. I don't know where we are right now. What are we even talking about anymore?
It is way past Elt's bedtime, in case anyone's wondering. That's the problem right now. She gets very loopy when it's after 3 p.m. So that's what's happening here. But you mentioned that there are all these different versions of Cinderella, and I think that goes back to what you were saying about fairy tales. And we're going to go a little deep here for just a moment, because, yes, the trappings of the fairy tale are fantastical, right? A fairy godmother who makes a pumpkin into a coach, and little mice that help to create things, and magic. That is all fantastical, but the story, the message, what the fairy tales are speaking to, the like wish fulfillment and the hope, that is universal. So whether someone is in France or in China or in Afghanistan or the South Pole, it doesn't matter, because the idea that when we are beaten down, we still have the opportunity to be a kind person, to be a giving person, that our circumstances don't define us, and that good eventually triumphs over evil and kindness triumphs over unkindness. That's what this story speaks to or speaks about.
So deep. So deep.
You know what? People come here for the laughs, but they stay for the deep.
For the deep. Just for the deep. There's no sharks in the deep. It's just, well, there might be sharks. We don't know yet. We're first
mental
exploring.
Mental mind sharks.
Fabulous. Yeah. Oh, it's actually, we didn't even give our ratings for it. So actually, the one good thing. Okay. So for someone like myself, who anyways can't handle the love stories without having to like sit on my head as I have to watch the film. That's already one thing, but the ratings actually came in really pretty well, especially speaking about, you don't know where Disney's going to go these days. So maybe 2015 is a little bit before, we don't know, but not really. So violence is a zero. There's not any explicit violence. I mean, you have the fact that the stepmother speaks down to Cinderella and all that sort of stuff, but it's not excessive. It's not,
that's Cinderella.
I think it was your beater, huh?
That's Cinderella. Like, that's just, that is the story. It couldn't really, it's not violent.
It's not specifically violent. And then, language is a zero, that's a big deal. And romance is only a, romance is a one, because one for us is more just like if there's crushes and, you know, and like romance in the air can still keep it at a one if everyone keeps their clothes on. So thankfully, for the most part, until the stepmother rips the dress, but even then the clothing stays on, and for which we are very grateful.
I think another important thing about the fact of romance being one, because you and I have talked about, even if it's like, clothes are staying on, if the whole plot centers around romance, then that can bump the score up. And people have this real misconception about Cinderella that she's just like languishing away in a tower somewhere, waiting for the prince to come get her. So I think in most people's minds, this is a romance, but Cinderella isn't a romance. It ends in romance because that's what happy endings are. Happy endings are people finding good relationships with other people, whether it's a romantic relationship or a, like, think of the end of a TV show, like a series finale. A baby is born, a wedding happens, people are reconnected. Like, it's always about relationships. So yes, the end result is that Cinderella is married to the prince and they have this beautiful whirlwind romance and there's love and she's saved from the place where she was, but she wasn't like waiting around to be rescued. And that's why I like this version so much, because it focuses on who Cinderella was as a person. The animated version does a little bit. They actually make her pretty sassy in the Disney version. So whenever people say like Cinderella's just waiting around for a prince, they haven't actually watched the Disney version because she is sassy and in charge of herself. But this one does even better because it shows Cinderella. So her mother gives her these, her like parting words of how to be a good person. Have courage and be kind. That is what Cinderella needs to do because the mother knows she's going to die and she wants to make sure Cinderella has some guidance. In the original version, I think it's similar, but I think there's also like, remember that God is watching over you. So there's actually a very strong religious tone to the original story from the 19th century. Disney didn't include that, but fine, because have courage and be kind are still such important qualities. But then we get to see Cinderella be that way, and because she's kind to this old lady who comes begging for food, turns out the old lady is actually the fairy godmother, which again is a lesson of be kind to everyone, and then kindness repays itself. Kindness is paid for. In this case, literally Cinderella is repaid. Not that we do kindness for the reward, but this it's a fairy tale explanation of good things come to good people. You can be good, you can be kind, you can be courageous, even when your life... I mean, Cinderella is a literal... Right, she's a servant. She's... I hesitate to say slave, but I mean, basically, right? She's a slave. She doesn't get to choose anything about her own life. She doesn't get to dictate any of her own choices. And she is still a good person. And that's the important message. This is probably the only live-action Disney remake that I don't just tolerate, but actually really like. Like, Aladdin I tolerated. It was fine. But I didn't need it. This one actually expanded and improved the original one, except that there's not all the fun songs, and you know how I feel about not including the music.
But better than someone who can't sing them so well. We're looking at you.
Emma Watson.
Yeah. You were a little bit more specific than I was on that. Yeah. Are you okay?
Look, I don't understand, in My Fair Lady, when Audrey Hepburn played Eliza Doolittle, they had Marnie Nixon do the vocals because they wanted Audrey Hepburn to be the actress, even though it should have been Julie Andrews, and who knows what they were thinking. But anyway, there's it was okay to have people dub. And now, no, yeah, because she was doing, she got Mary Poppins after.
Right, okay, right.
Because they wouldn't put her in the show, which she had originated the role in on Broadway.
Right.
Anyway, the point is, is it really better to have someone try to sing it and then auto-tune it instead of just have someone dub the voice? Maybe a conversation for another day. But I think we all know where Elton and I stand.
But they're being cast for a musical. So, like, there's lots of highly talented actors who are also highly trained in music because they have good voices. The end.
Yes.
So it's okay that they didn't do music if that's not any of the people they wanted for the parts, if they're not music people.
Right.
We'd rather they don't put the music in.
Yeah. There was some, just now that I'm thinking about it, because we're talking about like when the movie came out, because people were giving Lily James a really hard time because she's so thin, and it was like, she's too thin, and it's, you know, unrealistic expectations of women's bodies. And I think it's so interesting that, like, first of all, like, it's Cinderella. Like, we're going to see this tiny little princess. Also, that's her actual body. Like, what do you want her to do about her actual body? Get fat so that you feel good about yourself? It was weird because she's such a perfect Cinderella, and really in this Cinderella, because she just has a very like kind, warm, I mean, I don't know her in real life, but she really communicates.
Emily is starting a new letter writing campaign. After Sutton Foster, this is her next fangirling that she's going
to do. But still has not gotten back to me, by the way.
But you know what? That's what happens. You find someone else to write letters to. That's how it goes.
That's true. Yeah. No, this is just a really good version because it incorporates a lot from the original story, and it does what a fairy tale should, which is show us like our hopes and our dreams and sort of the best versions of ourselves just in a different like fantasy lens. And I really, really like the message of your life can be the worst, but that doesn't mean you have to be the worst, because I think you know, a lot of people just blame their circumstances for the way they act, but you can rise above your circumstances if you choose. It's all about choice. Right? You have the choice to have courage and be kind despite what's going on, or you can cry and moan and blame everyone else and then be a terrible person because of it. And you know what? Sometimes it's easier to take messages like that from a fairy tale than it is from, like, a hard-hitting nonfiction historical biography or something, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's also just a side thing. Quickly, before we wrap up, they have it in the live action, and it's in the musical as well. The Rodgers and Hammerstein version of... What do we say? Is Hammerstein or Hammerstein? No, just kidding. Their musical edition also has the kindness factor is pretty strong in it. But both of them, Cinderella meets the prince before the ball. We don't see that, I don't think, in the cartoon, right? So meet, and even though he's attracted to her beauty and whatever, I think in both of them there's a moment of, like, kindness that the prince, that also catches the prince's eye. So that, and then when they meet again, it's obviously because she's so beautiful and so whatever. But I think both of them make the kindness a little bit more center and make that, like, also, if I remember correctly. Because I actually saw... I'm about to do a plug again, but I didn't intentionally mean it. But I actually saw, I think the live action had come out, and then within, I don't know if it was within a year or something like that, that's when I saw the stage version. And I was coming out of there, and I was talking about the Cinderellas and the Cinderella, whatever, and that's when my mind started going like, Cinderella's always told this way. What if it was told this way? And that's when I wrote my book. And that led to the 5-book series. But it was, cool. I went a different, I did have the kindnesses in it also. Kindness is a factor in it. But, the prince is wacko. But anyways, that's, I think on both of them, and it also, it's an important thing also that the prince seeing her before the ball, because that means that he saw her first as a servant. You know, like, of course he would recognize, there's no way he didn't recognize her, even though officially he doesn't, but that aside, but that's also important. It's not just, wow, she's so beautiful, I'm so attracted to her. Like, there was this initial attraction that was, like, there was a scene first, and I think both of them, like, she, not to say teaches him a kindness lesson, but, like, she pushes kindness to him also. So it's like, it's not just her beauty, but also her character that's coming through. Yeah. You know, in the Disney fairy tale way, but that's, if I remember correctly, both of them are like that. Yeah.
Well, so to be fair to Disney, the movies are still family-oriented, maybe not kid-oriented, but family-oriented. Also, the original was, like, an hour and a half animated thing. So, you know, it's not everything's going to be equally deep, and you can definitely just watch a movie and enjoy it without getting something from it. But this is one of those ones where you really can get something good out of it and also enjoy it because it was pretty well acted and directed, etc. So yeah, actually, two thumbs up for Cinderella live action and Disney. Just quit while you're way behind because you did one good live action, and let's just stop it right there.
Yeah, I don't know. Something tells me they're not listening. Oh, new letter writing campaign.
This is the one that matters, people. Tell Disney to stop doing live-action remakes and just make new movies instead of redoing old ones like Maleficent, because that was stupid.
That wasn't a remake. That
so
was,
says I.
Like Cruella. Like that they're trying to give the villains the backstories with their live... I don't even want... Like, who even cares anymore? I don't know. Okay, maybe people do, but I don't. Whatever.
I don't. I don't either. I'm okay with them just being villains. Anyway... On that note,
we're on all the notes tonight. Yeah.
Be kind to us by following us on Instagram and maybe leaving a review on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen to the podcast where you can leave a review and a rating. 5 stars, please. And share it also. You know, share the podcast with people that you think need to hear it. Moms, dads, other readers, other TV watchers, which is probably everyone in your life. And subscribes.
Oh yeah, that's also kindness. It's kindness to share with them, kindness for you to subscribe, kindness to you for you to subscribe your friends. Say, hey, can I borrow your phone for a second? Sign me in. Boom, subscribe them. Wait, actually, maybe don't do that.
You know, unless you're really close.
Yeah, yeah. Or maybe do that. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, your choice.
So thank you so much for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Cheers, people.
Oh My Word podcast is brought to you by the Pearl Clutching Basement Dwellers at Oh My Word. Follow us on Instagram for updates at Oh My Word Podcast, or like and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. For full episode notes and detail, visit eltenenbaum.com. Music is by Tim Burke. See you next time.